Hello, welcome to Spotlight, the colours of artistic creation in the grey of a Manx summer.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, we hear about the wonderful Ramsey Music Society and some of the world-class musicians appearing in the remainder of their summer programme. In Cruinniach is almost with us. We catch up with one of the organisers, Chloe Woolley. And we hear about the One World Centre's SDG competition, looking at sustainable seas. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create or would really like to, yes, put in the spotlight. Poetry, theatre, music, literature, ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital, calligraphy, the list goes on and on. There's so much, and we know there's so much wonderful art and art creations on the island, so do get in touch. Howard Kane at manxradio.com, that's Kane with an E, or just spotlight at manxradio.com. Love to hear from you. More of you are getting in touch. I really appreciate that. And if I can feature you on the programme, I'd love to. Now, the Ramsey Music Society is one of those gems on the Isle of Man which really deserve to be better known. For half a century, they've been bringing world-class classical artists to play here on the Isle of Man, and more specifically in the north of the island in, well, you've guessed it, Ramsey. Now run by Olga Versage, a world-class concert pianist herself and chair and programme secretary of the Society, it continues to stage a series of concerts in the hall at Ramsey Grammar School through the summer months. Well, I invited Olga into the studio to tell us more about the Society. We haven't chatted to her for quite some time here on Spotlight, but I'm sure some of you won't be familiar with the history of the Society. And also I got Olga to tell us some of the wonderful musicians she has lined up for forthcoming concerts.
When I came to the Isle of Man in late 1998, that was one of my first points of contact because I already could see concerts going on. At that time it was a winter season, from September until March. And I came to the concert in January and introduced myself to the then chairman. It was John Crystal, I believe, at that time. And they got my information and said, if we have a vacancy, we'll invite you to play. So I started as a performer there, and I played there first time in October 1999. So that was my honor to play for the Ramsey Music Society in my first full year on the Isle of Man. And I've been involved ever since. I was involved less when I had very much full-time job at King William's College. But then when I had to step down in 2017 for personal reasons due to my late husband's health issues, I suddenly had a little bit more time to contribute to the cultural development of the north of the island. So I joined the society committee as the program secretary, because due to what I do, I know so many international musicians as personal contacts that I thought it would be useful to use these contacts to bring them to the Isle of Man.
Absolutely, and that's exactly what's been going on for many years now. As you say, a list of names, we can't read them all out here, but I mean, so many wonderful musicians coming through to play up in the West Hall at Ramsey Grammar School. There's been a summer series going on now. There's been already some great, there was only a concert a week or two back, but there are still several more. So if people haven't got to see any of the music this year so far, there's still three more, I think four more coming up. But there's one coming up very quickly on the 14th of July, a piano and violin.
We try to put six concerts a year, and we already had three. So now our season goes from April until October, with a break in August, as there are so many people on holidays at that time. Mm-hmm. But we did have in the past for many years concerts from September until March. But with the weather getting more and more difficult, then we decided to try to move it to slightly warmer months. One can hope
Hopefully.
That we will get slightly warmer weather and also slightly lighter arrival and departure time, so to speak, because it seems that quite a lot of people prefer not to drive when it gets dark.
Yeah.
So that makes difference for people to come, especially if they come further afield than Ramsey. They still have time to come back. Our concerts start at 7:30, but they finish generally by 9:30. So in the summer months, it's still quite light to drive back. Therefore, I hope it was the right decision to change the timings. Our next concert is showcasing two young performers. They're both recent graduates, one of the Royal Northern College of Music, that's the violinist Dylan Latham, and he performed on the island last year as part of the quartet that was sponsored by Captain Mackenzie MBE as part of his celebration of the award. And we were honored to have His Excellency Sir John and Lady Philippa coming to this concert. And Dylan was the lead of this quartet. And as he now is a graduate, we invited him to give a solo recital with the pianist who is a graduate of London Royal Academy of Music. It's a Hungarian pianist called Mihály Györfi, and he also is established in London now as a solo performer, as an accompanist, and also he tries to promote Hungarian music. So we very much hope for a few solos of the unusual Hungarian music there. So our concerts usually, if it's a duet, we try to structure it that there are some duet pieces, but also some solo pieces. And on some occasions, we actually have violin solo or cello solo, but I always ask pianists to play one solo in each part because it gives a bit of a variety and gives chance to show piano technique as well as violin technique. So that's our plan. And the program is quite international, as we have a very beautiful sonata by Grieg. And we also have Dvořák, which is Central European composer. And we also have a few lesser known, perhaps, pieces by Fauré, a French composer. So very international indeed. And we hope our audience will enjoy it.
Terrific stuff. We'll hear more from Olga next week. Information about further concerts and looking ahead to 2026. Some exciting news.
Spotlight. Brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
We'll stick with music, but of a different kind, as the Celtic gathering in Cluniac is almost upon us again. A wonderful melange of not just music, but all things Celtic from around the globe. Chloe Woolley, out at Cultivanin, one of the organisers, I called in to Cultivanin HQ in St John's to find out more about this year's event and how an old element of the festival's predecessor is being revived after 100 years.
Well, we've got a wide range of events happening, from ticketed events with top Celtic acts down to lots of community free displays and workshops. So something for everyone.
And I think you're right. I think in many ways people think in Cluniac, you can think, oh, it's just sort of singing, music, dancing, but it actually extends much further than that.
Well, it does. And the festival, as it stands, is, I think we're on our 48th year, 47th year. But before that, the precursor to in Cluniac was Cluniac de Shúnach Bhanann, which was in Douglas. And this year, we're actually reviving the 1925 produce show.
Love it.
Yeah, so we thought this would be nice. Wait, so we've got the programme, the syllabus from 1925, and on our Saturday gathering in the Corrin Hall in the Cathedral Grounds of Peel, we're going to have a produce show. So we hope that lots of people will put their Bonnigan and their homemade marmalade, homemade beer, and there'll be some craft categories as well. So that is something that's looking to the past of in Cluniac. As well as that, we've got some amazing visiting acts coming over. We start the week with Rura, who are a Scottish boy band, I suppose. So that's Monday night. So the festival starts on the 21st of July, and we've got some big events happening in the Centenary Centre. So we've got Rura. We've got the Celtic Myths and Legends variety show on the Thursday, which will feature all of our visiting acts, plus lots of Manx acts, narrated by Bob Carswell,
excellent.
RBV, who is also the Incarnate President at the moment. And then we've also got Callum Stewart, who is a Scottish piper, an Ilium piper, and a Scottish step dancer called Sophie Stevenson, and they'll be on the Saturday night in the Centenary Centre too. Other events we've got happening, we've got Celtic Myths and Legends themed Cayley happening in Peel Masonic. We've got a song night happening there with Minds of Shanty.
Excellent. They're always good. The themed, so people dressing up in themes, or how's that working?
Well, for the Celtic Myths and Legends, yeah, it's definitely... it's not mandatory, but you can come dressed as your favourite folklore character from any of the Celtic countries. So if you want to be a leprechaun or a bugairn, it's up to you. We've also got the Mega Manx Cayley. And now this is in the Cathedral in Peel. Very popular last year. And this will feature the Mega Manx Cayley Band, which has got lots of our top Manx players in it. Plus, we'll have some visiting Welsh acts and a bit of Scottish dancing as well. So that'll be a really good night on the Friday night of Incarnate.
They're always popular, the big Cayleys, I think, are always, you know, the big Cayleys and the big singing nights always seem to draw in huge crowds.
They do. I think it's because it's very accessible. Everyone can have a go at joining in on a chorus of a song, or they can take to the floor and have a go at... a Cayley dance, which is explained to you at the beginning, and it's just good fun. Like,
and
no
again,
one judges you.
Yeah, exactly. There's no judgment, and there's always the sort of the different. It's that lovely melting pot as well of the different cultures, isn't it? Obviously, there's our own Manx, but then you get all the different Celtic regions coming in. It's a great way just to get a flavour of some of the different cultures.
That's right, and it's also it's quite a nice way to promote the Isle of Man to these visiting. Acts, because then they go back and say, oh my god, the Isle of Man is absolutely amazing. They've got all this going on. So there's a lot of Manx content during the week. We've got the sessions, workshops, we've got House of Manann and lunchtime displays, which will be Manx and visiting acts. That Celtic Myths and Legends concert on the Thursday night will be, it'll be a journey through shared folklore in many ways. There will be some stories that we have connections with Ireland and Scotland and Wales. So it'll be a very interesting, educational but fun night with music, song and dance. And we've got lots of events happening at Black Dog as well. They've come on as a sponsor. So there'll be tea time, gigs and sessions there, and then late in the evening as well. Plus, Noah Bakehouse sponsoring the lunchtime sessions in Douglas. So
yeah,
that'll be brilliant.
They were very popular, I think, last year. I think there was, because people literally could do that. They could, you know, be at work, drop in there, grab a bite of lunch or a coffee or something, and catch a little bit of Incarnate.
That's right. Yeah. So we've also got acts that will be leading sessions. That's kind of themed by Celtic Nation in Noah. So we'll have the McGoldrick family doing an Irish session. We'll have the Annie Bayliss band and the Brim Cayley band doing a Cornish session. And we'll have this youth ensemble from Wales called Avanc doing a session there as well.
How much planning goes into Incarnate? Is it one of these events where, you know, a few weeks after this year's event, you'll have a debrief and then start thinking about next year's event?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, we have to need to get the dates out there immediately, really. And we're finding there's a lot more interest from outside the island. Acts are getting in touch saying, oh, please, can we be considered for next year? And we also have lots of visitors coming now. It's interesting to see the words getting around. I mean, we advertise in the Irish Music Magazine and our social media has a good reach now. In fact, we've got a duo coming from Australia.
Wow.
The Barley Shakes, yeah.
And, is that a Celtic country?
Well, the duo, Alan's from Dublin originally and Kristen has Manx descent.
Oh.
So they're okay. On a little tour of the Celtic Isles and asked if they could pop in, and so they're coming on holiday, but we've roped them in. So you'll see the Barley Shakes during the festival as well.
Can you get season tickets again?
Yes, there's very few left, but we have festival pass available for £73. Otherwise, if you go to CelticGathering.im, follow the ticket link, there's individual links for those there. There's loads of free events as well. We've got fringe events in Sailor Shelter, the Sailing Club with Peel Sea Fest happening. And we've got lots of festival friends throughout Peel who are offering to host sessions. So we're hoping that a whole of Peel and St John's, where we'll be having a lovely concert with Rachel Hare and Ron Jeppy and some young harpists, it's spread. The Celtic Festival feel will be spread throughout, hopefully.
Wonderful. Gets underway on the 21st of July, runs through until the 27th. And again, just to remind us, if people want to sort of see a breakdown of all the events, free or otherwise, as you say, there's literally drop-ins, there are workshops, there are concerts. If you can get all the details online again.
Yes, if you go to CelticGathering.im or incrinic.com, if you know how to spell that. Yep, you can find all the information there, and there's tickets for sale online, but also in Celtic Gold and Manor Music Shop.
Bit of the Barley Shakes all the way from Australia, Chloe mentioned a little earlier in the chat there. Incrinic gets underway on the 21st of the month, that's July of course. There is so much going on, there really is something for everyone. Just sat him away for quite a lot of it, I think, so I won't be able to check out my marmalade in the produce event. Full details online as usual, check it out, CelticGathering.im. A reminder though, poets have just 1 month to get their applications in to be the Isle of Man's next bard. Manx bards, of course, foster an appreciation of poetry and promote the Isle of Man via events that they are invited to, poems they're asked to write for occasions and initiatives they run. The Manx bard celebrating 10 years, the new bard will be the 11th appointed to the prestigious post. Now then, it is coming up to that time of year to get your entries in. Invited from poets aged 18 plus. There's youth bards, of course, if you're under 18, but that goes at a different time of the year. You must live on the island. Entries should include an entry form available on the Manx Bard Facebook page, or you can email manxbard@gmail.com. Up to 3 poems of the entrant's own composition, a proposal of 500 words maximum for what you would like to offer or deliver in your year potentially as the Manx Bard, and entrants are highly encouraged to study the full rules available via Facebook or via the same email. Entries should be emailed in by Friday the 8th of August, so you have a month almost exactly to get them in there. They can also be posted, if you wish, to Team Bard, care of 11 Timwell Grove, Castletown, Isle of Man, IM91BU, but entrants must allow time for receipt by the deadline, of course, if you're doing it that way. Shortlisted entrants will be invited to attend an audition with members of Team Bard on Saturday the 23rd of August, when they will discuss their poetry, outline their plans for a year as the Manx Bard, and perform one of their poems. The Manx Bard will be inaugurated at an event on Sunday the 24th of August, so entrants must be available on both dates. Those considering entering who have queries should contact the same email address. The Manx Bard, of course, sponsored by Isle of Man Arts Council and supported by Culture Vannon. Jordan Kenyuk, who we were talking to only last week, said, the current Manx Bard says, it's been an incredible honour to represent our island's rich culture and champion the poetic talent we have here. Sharing my passion in my capacity as Manx Bard has been a joy, and the role has deepened my love for writing and expanded my creative horizons. I would encourage poets to apply for the position, as it gives you the opportunity to immerse yourself in the wonderful poetic community we have here on the Isle of Man. There you go. How much more encouragement do you want? Get writing and get in there. Now, just time to tell you about an artistic competition with an ethical feel run by the ever-inventive One World Centre. We heard from Wendy Sherman last week from the centre about the Global Village stage on Tymble Day. And while she was in the studio, she also mentioned the SDG competition to me.
The SDG competition is something that we've run. This is the fifth year, actually, that we've run it. And it revolves around the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So that was 17 goals were put together in 2015 and agreed by 193 countries with the aim of making the world a fairer and more sustainable place for everyone by 2030. So each year we pick a different goal and we invite young people in particular to react to the goal in question. So this year the competition is around SDG number 14, Life Below Water, which is all about conserving marine environments, our seas, our oceans, our rivers, keeping them clean and healthy. Quite topical. We've had David Attenborough recently launch his documentary Ocean. And I think during that he said that, you know, having lived nearly 100 years on the planet, he's now realised that probably the most important place is not the land but the sea, because of the influence it has on everything else.
So super, well, actually super appropriate for the Isle of Man, as you say, isn't it? We're sort of sitting in the middle of the Irish Sea, I guess. So it's a great way of raising awareness and, I suppose, educational values as well.
Absolutely. I mean, we're surrounded by water. We just take it for granted. But in a wider sense, we all rely on water for, you know, food, energy. So it's just taking that extra, yeah, it's just encouraging people to take that extra step. You know, the seas are polluted. We are responsible for polluting them, you know, individually and corporations and things as well. And it's just thinking about how, what action can we take? The SDG art competition is always about positive action. So it's raising awareness of an issue, but rather than just wringing our hands about it, saying, well, what actually can we do? Even if it's just a very small action that we can take as an individual, what can we do to that? So, I mean, on the Isle of Man, you know, we've got beach buddies, for example. So excellent way, you know, a beach clean. That's one way you can help. We've got other charities like the Manx Dolphin and Whale Watch who work in that space and always raising awareness of the need to keep the oceans clean. So it's just, yeah, a challenge to think, what other things could we do to keep, you know, is it using less plastic? Again, recently we've had Rowan Henthorne from the Isle of Man, who went out on that expedition X-Trillion to the big plastic garbage dump in the Pacific Ocean. And it's just shocking how much plastic is out there. And the scientists say that, you know, it's not too long before there'll be more plastic in the sea than fish. So again, you know, it starts with very simple actions. You know, if we use less bottles, less plastic bottles, less plastic containers of any kind, they go in the, you know, they get thrown away, they go in the rivers, they go out to sea. So just thinking about all these small actions that we can take that on a mass scale, when everybody's doing them, can really make an impact.
So this is aimed at school children, what, primary and secondary?
Yeah, we've got two classes. So there's primary age and secondary age. There are prizes. So the winner of each class will get £50 in creative vouchers. And there's two runner-up prizes in each class as well, of £25 in creative vouchers. So there's something to go for as well.
So what they're actually being asked for is what, to design a poster highlighting these issues?
Yeah, so it's a poster no bigger than A3. Yeah, their response to this theme about save our seas, and an action or a series of actions that they would like to see taken. So it will be judged on relevance to the theme, creativity and impact.
And it certainly seems to me, when I chat to young folk, I find quite comforting to a degree, a lot of the younger generation coming up now seem to be far more aware of these sort of issues.
Yeah, I think particularly environmental issues like animal conservation and to a degree the seas as well, they do understand the importance and our responsibility to look after those things as well. It's somehow just difficult for them to see how they can make an action, how they can contribute to that. So this is all a way of trying to get people to think, well, actually, what could I do? And even if it seems a relatively small thing, if everybody's doing that, then it has a much wider impact.
So how do people enter?
Okay, so we've got all the information on our website, which is 111.org, and there's a special section on there on the art competition. So there's a flyer there, which has links to lots of resources that you can use to look up information. There's the terms and conditions, and there's an entry form, and it's just return your entries to us by the 25th of July. So we've set the date a week after the school holiday. So in the event we have a miserable first week of the holidays, it's something for parents to do at home as well with their children. 25th of July, and then we'll be judging in August and announcing the winners at the beginning of the next school year.
And the winners get some vouchers by the looks of it?
Yes, £50 in vouchers for the winner of each class, and £25 in vouchers for two runners-up in each class as well.
Terrific. Lovely idea. Just remind us of that cut-off date again then, if people want to take part.
So it's the 25th of July, Friday the 25th of July.
They do so much great work all year round on the Isle of Man, the One World Centre. This sounds a great way to encourage young engagement in keeping our seas clean and healthy. If I'm honest, I think a lot of young people get that already. Perhaps it's us, me, the older generation, who are more of a problem. I'll do my best. Lovely to hear from Wendy as ever. And if you're young enough, get involved in the SDG competition. That's about it for now. I'll be back next week. See you then. Be good. Whatever you're doing, be creative about it. Hemo.